to Straight Talk with MJ. I'm your host, Michelle Jeanette. It's been a couple weeks since I came to you, but thank you for joining me again on this next episode of the podcast. Have you ever been triggered? That's such a, I guess, a trending word right now, triggered. People get triggered so easily lately, it seems, and not a lot of things trigger me. I'm pretty easy going. I don't get mad a lot. I don't get really frustrated at things. I have sit in traffic. It doesn't like stress me out unless I'm in a huge hurry or something like that. But you know, for the most part, it's just whatever is happening is happening. I'm not trying to run people over to get somewhere usually. But there are a few things, just a handful of things that do, I guess, what you call get my goat, trigger me a little bit. And they usually have something to do with when there's an injustice of some sort, or maybe when people lie or stretch the truth, or people in authority abuse their power. That triggers me. There's also a few other things that trigger me. I'm not going to explain all of it, but I did read something posted from a Facebook friend online the last couple of days. And a lot of times when things do trigger me, it kind of gets my thought process going and I start writing things out, because I am better at writing it out and switching it up and editing it than just blurting it out and speaking it, because speaking is not my forte. I've had to learn to do that throughout my life. And if you knew me as a child, you'd probably be very surprised at where I'm at now. So what I had did when I read this post is I just started typing things out, my thoughts. And over the course of a few days, normally how I do it is I just go back and I reread and kind of edit it and make it flow better and sound better and put things in and, or take something out and reword it if I don't word it correctly. It just kind of, it helps as an outlet to get my, I guess my emotion of things out so I can process it, you know, in my mind. So maybe you have an outlet like that. I don't know how that helps you process things, a feeling or a thought or something like that. So if you follow me for any length of time, you know I am passionate about sharing the truth about the history of our country. And it's been so whitewashed and skewed and flipped on its head with things from the Founding Fathers weren't Christian, they were deists, to the project of 1619 project, where it says America wasn't founded for freedom, it was founded on the backs of slaves. All of that is just total nonsense. But they have such a large platform, these people that have infiltrated all these institutions, that they push this out there and the mainstream people just listen or share it or whatever. So I know I'm ranting and I'm leading up to something. So what I wrote out, I'm just going to kind of go through what I wrote out and maybe add a few things here or there when I'm reading it. And then give, I don't know, it's just my thoughts. And take it for what it is. but I hope what you'll do is start reading the true history of our country. Don't just take my word for it. I highly suggest you go to wallbuilders.com. And the reason I recommend that website is because they actually have the original documents. They have over 100,000 original source artifacts, documents, papers, letters, books, writings, whatever you want to call it, of our founding fathers on forward, you know, on up to the 1800s and such. And the, for instance, like when they were deliberating in the Constitutional Congress, somebody was there actually taking notes of what was being discussed. And there are like notebooks full of these notes. So when you go back and you want to know what the original intent of the Founding Fathers were when they came up with this amazing idea of a constitutional republic, you can find it, that information out in their notes and figure out what they were originally thinking. Okay? This group, Wall Builders, has those documents. So they know original intent. And that is the most important thing. And this country is so unique. So I'm going to read a little bit of what I wrote. And then I'm going to finish up with an excerpt from the Wall Builders educational book called The American Story. It's the first, I think they're going to write more of it. But I'm going to read an excerpt out of that. And just to give you hopefully a jump start on the interest in reading more about this great nation that's called America. Because we don't have this country, we're going to not have freedom. I'm just putting that out there. So let me read what I wrote. And you can give me feedback if you want. It doesn't really matter, because my job, as what I have taken on, is what John Quincy Adams said when somebody asked him about the fight to end slavery. He spent over 17 years in the Senate and as president and as a senator fighting to end slavery. And it did not happen before he died. But here's what his response was. This is towards the end of his life. And he said, "Duty is ours. Results are God's. The results don't matter. The duty is mine to do what I think is right and what I'm called to do." So if 5 people hear this, if 10 people hear it, if 50 people hear it, that is not what I have to concern myself with. It is my duty just to say it and let God take it where it goes. So with that 7-minute intro, here is the letter, or this is kind of my response. And I put this on Facebook, and you can probably read it if you're one of my Facebook friends or not. But and then I'm going to follow up with the American Story excerpt. So I'm sure I just wrote this on Facebook. So I'm sure I have friends out there, because I do have friends that are from other countries. And they didn't grow up in a place like America. So they're, you know, they have a different background. So I'm trying to lay this out for people who didn't grow up here. I'm sure I have friends out there who probably think I'm crazy for always sharing these darn posts about the state of our nation. They probably wonder why the heck I carry on like I do about our God-given natural rights to things like freedom of speech and religion. And I can only imagine they think I'm a nut job for standing so strongly for our right to keep and bear arms. Because without, our founders were very, very divinely inspired, because without the right to defend yourself, all other rights go down the tubes, down the drain. You cannot defend freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to assemble, freedom of the press, without the government's knowledge that you can defend that with, you know, keep and bear arms. So let me say this to all my friends. If you don't know, I was a missionary for several years and lived among others from 25 different nations. I did that with Mercy Ships that was affiliated with Youth of the Mission at the time. Every nation has amazing people and very, really neat stories to tell from each nation and the people God loves. All nations belong to Him. He created the idea of nations, okay? So all nations belong to Him. So, but I'm humbly going to put this thought out here. America is very unique in that it was the first nation established with the idea that God, not government, gives certain rights to humans. We are each born with the inherent rights to freely think and speak and defend ourselves. Our American founders lived in a world where government authority was always God to king first, and then the king, or for a period of time, it was the church, state-run church, to the rest of us measly little peasants. But after studying John Locke, William Blackstone, Montesquieu, and the Bible, our founders developed the most unique and first of its kind government in that era, in that world, a constitutional republic. It was a radical idea of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. They figured out that governmental authority came from God directly to the people, not through one person like a king or a dictator, or even a parliament. Then, as instructed in Exodus 18:21, if you have not read Exodus 18:21, I forgot to pull that up here. Let me pull that up. If you didn't know this, God established civil government. Yes, civil government, the way he established to run it, is actually came from Exodus. And in 18 verse 21, he said this, it was instructions. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Whoa. I forgot about that part. Fear God and hate bribes? What are we dealing with right now? But bribery and the selling of our country for millions of dollars. Wow. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. And those were appointed to solve people's common disputes. That's Exodus 18:21. People elect representatives in our constitutional republic to be their voices at the local, state, and federal levels. Our Constitution was written, very uniquely, to set limits on that elected government, always with the threat that if they didn't do the will of the people and do what was best or follow the Constitution, they could be replaced with a different elected representative in the next election. Enter today's arena. The current government has literally turned on its own people. For years, the federal government has exceeded its boundaries of authority, and I was naive. I did not understand this. I grew up loving our history, so I didn't pay attention to what was going on at the current time. And I think a lot of that, us can be guilty of that, not paying attention, and that's probably why we're in the shape we're in right now. But I'm trying to fix that. So for years, the federal government has exceeded its boundaries of authority, and there are many facets of it that should not even exist. For example, the EPA, the Department of Education, the NSA, Homeland Security, the CDC, NIH, FDA, and even the FBI. None of those are laid out as something that the federal government has power or authority to do. None of them. These agencies have accumulated so much power that they are now wielding that power to target what they quote enemies of the state. And an enemy to them is anyone who opposes their desire to keep power. People who believe in the bedrock Christian and constitutional principles of this nation are now considered domestic terrorists. And that's the most clear example of that is the FBI, a letter from the National School Board Association written to the Attorney General at the time, the Attorney General, and asking for them to label parents who came to school board meetings and opposed what they were doing to their kids in school, and to label them as domestic terrorists. That's the stark example of that. In recent years, this overpowering government has used their fake power to lock us down, force compliance to medical tyranny, silence us on social media. There is evidence that the Biden regime was working with, coordinating with social media companies to silence anyone they didn't like. Not just conservatives, mostly conservatives, but some of people like Dr. McCullough, Dr. Naomi Wolf, they are not conservatives, but they were silenced because they went against the regime's narrative about the virus. They are now criminalizing free speech. There's literally a man in prison for posting a meme in the 2016 election that joked about, said, if you want to vote for Hillary, I'll text something, something, you know, vote Hillary. They took him to jail like 4 years later, and, or they took him to trial, and he is now in jail for the meme he posted. That's insane. So they're criminalizing free speech, and they are attempting to disarm the law-abiding citizens, like in New Mexico. Fortunately, a judge has stopped that, but that's, other people are doing it. And the Biden regime's trying to do it too. All the while allowing tens of millions of illegals to pour into this country. They don't just allow it, they are facilitating it. They are the largest partner facilitator of human sex trafficking with children in the world right now, working in conjunction with the cartel at the border. It's insane what this regime is doing to destroy this beloved country. It's insane. At the same time, they quit teaching civics in school. So many people, our current generation and the last one, that just maybe graduated, don't even know that the true authority in this government lies with we the people. But they're not educated in that. It's on purpose. They weaponize terms like Christian nationalism to scare us into silence, because Christians don't like to be labeled hateful or bigoted or anything like that. And so when that group of people label Christians like that, they tend to stay silent because they don't want to be come across as hateful or unloving. But it doesn't work that way. When you don't stand on the truth in love, you get run over. And they take over. So they weaponize terms like Christian nationalism to scare us into silence. They are targeting our children in schools by utilizing mental health as a Trojan horse to bring in this confusing sexualization of children and gender ideology that they are confusing kids with, along with the social media aspect of things, confusing kindergartners. Okay, this is again, it's insane about how God made them. Okay, and now even in California, they're passing laws that if a parent does not allow their children to be mutilated or to be put on hormones because of what somebody at school said or social media said or a doctor said, then that child can be taken away from the parent. That is scary stuff. That is not America. They are so bad that during the last election, these agencies knowingly hid laptop evidence of high-level bribery and treason, and used the virus as an excuse to force the use of millions of mail-in ballots so their puppet candidate could take over. There's a lot of controversy in what I just said, that one sentence. There's a lot of controversy, because if you actually took a bird's eye view and way high up, you could see what was going on. If you understood that the media now is just a mouthpiece for the regime. And they have been for years, but it's become extremely even worse in the last 6 to 8 years. Every day, more and more evidence is brought to the public that proves that this happened. They told us it was fake and it was Russian disinformation. 51 intelligence officers, including the former CIA director, John Brennan, said this was Russian disinformation when in fact they had Hunter Biden's laptop since the end of 2019. They knew what was on it. Things that are on it you can find on a website called, I think, Marco Polo. And he has all of it out there for you to read. Okay? The sex trafficking, the prostitution, the crack drugs, the selling of information, the bribery, the money coming from Burisma and Ukraine and oligarchs, the money laundering in Ukraine, the Communist Party of Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, paying millions of dollars to this family for access. It's all there in the bank records. It's all on paper. And yet today the media says there's no evidence. There's no evidence. That's their narrative right now. There's no evidence. There's no evidence. When we have a mountain of evidence of all of this crime. And yet they impeached Trump on a phone call. A phone call. And I will state this. Do not believe one single word from this regime or their mouthpieces in the media about their narrative of what happened on January 6th. If you are willing to look at the actual evidence, and more needs to come out, Kevin McCarthy, the Republicans are just as to blame as anybody else. In fact, they're worse because they say they'll do one thing and they don't do it. We're still waiting on the video, thousands of hours of video, but some people have been able to see that video. There's too much evidence to refute their claim that it was some sort of insurrection. I could share so many videos and articles explaining all that, but that is for another time, and there's plenty of that evidence out there with Epic Times and Laura Logan. Plenty. They are now acting like a banana republic by using lawfare to target their opponent because they know they cannot win any other way. Trump is a stand-in for the tens of millions of forgotten people, and he had given us back our voices. He said it over and over, given the power back to the people, to the states and to the people, not the federal government. Love him or hate him, the truth is he doesn't have to be doing any of this. He could retire quietly with his billions and never look back. They would probably leave him alone if he did. But we the people scare them, and Trump is our point man. He's our voice. That is why 80 million people voted for him and stand with him still, because he's not perfect. And there's some things about him that I don't agree with. Not just the background of morality issues, which he seems to have turned around since marrying Melania. But things like the shots, I totally don't agree with how he pushed that. But there's too many other things that I agree with him. The globalist went nuts when we elected him in 2016 because Hillary was going to seal the deal that Obama started by closing the book on free America. He laid out his two terms. He if you remember, Obama promised to fundamentally change America, and boy, he has done a good job. Trump is not a perfect man, like I said. He has done a lot of positive things, of which another whole episode could be spent on talking about that list. I'm already at 24 minutes. I am but a tiny speck among the millions of America-loving patriots whose eyes have been opened to what is happening to this beloved nation. I know we haven't been a perfect nation. We have always tried and strive to become better. I, like millions of others, don't want to live under the iron fist of tyranny. We know that this nation was divinely inspired and dedicated to the sharing of the gospel, and I'm going to read a little bit about that, but there is tons of proof that that is true. We weren't built on the backs of slaves. So you see, this is just a very small explanation of why I have become so vocal. Me, the kid who was afraid to talk to people and who was severely shy. I mean, severely shy. I am now using my awkward and shy voice to try and share the truth about this country. It is that important. I know that if we fail, there is no other place on earth to escape to for true freedom. That's why I and millions of others are interceding in prayer and working hard to right this ship. And we are starting at the local level. I've talked about that before, how you get to change this. The federal level, basically, we're going to have to do a lot of praying and repenting. But the local level, we can really affect the local level. We are waking up to our role in the arena that this republic is designed for, quote, only a moral and religious people. That John Adams said that. It is wholly inadequate to any other kind. Millions of us know this nation can only be saved by the God who providentially established it, and that he works through human agency, us. He does not, his expectation is not for us to sit here and let him do all the work. We got ourselves into this mess. We allowed this to get as far as it has. So it's up to us to do the work with him guiding us, obviously. We are living in a very critical time. We cannot hide our heads in the sand and expect that things will magically get better. We must embrace our role as we the people and return this nation to its ancient boundaries. Proverbs 23:10 says, do not move the ancient boundaries. I will close with this from Thomas Jefferson. I copied from his Monticello website. I love all of you. God bless all of you, and may God save America. Duty is ours, results are God's, is my favorite quote from John Quincy Adams. So here's what Thomas Jefferson, his website at Monticello said. I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery is a translation of a Latin phrase that Thomas Jefferson used, and I don't even dare to try to quote it. but it's there if you want to look it up. What I'll do is put the link to it in the web post so you can read it. Attempt to read Latin. I did not take Latin. I have a college degree, but I did not take Latin. I prefer the tumult of liberty to the quiet of servitude. Some translations of that Latin is what it means. I prefer the tumult of liberty to the quiet of servitude. Jefferson used the Latin phrase in the following letter to James Madison. Here's what he said to James Madison. Societies exist under three forms sufficiently distinguishable. Number one, without any government, as among the Native Americans, the Indians. Number two, under governments wherein the will of everyone has a just influence, as is the case in England in a slight degree, and in our states in a great one. And then number three, under governments of force, as is the case in all other monarchies and in most of other republics. To have an idea of the curse of existence under these last, they must be seen. In other words, in order to understand the curse of living under the others, they have to know what that the others are. It is a government of wolves over sheep. it is a problem not clear in my mind that the first condition is not the best. But I believe it to be inconsistent with any great degree of population. The second state has a great deal of good in it. The mass of mankind under that enjoys a precious degree of liberty and happiness. And he's talking about the kind of government we are in. And it has its evils too, the principle of which is the turbulence to which it is subject. But weigh this against the oppressions of monarchy and it becomes nothing. And then he quotes the Latin phrase, which means, I prefer the tumult of liberty to the quiet of servitude. Even this evil is productive of good. It prevents the degeneracy of government and nourishes a general attention to the public affairs. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and as necessary in the political world as storms are in the physical. He wrote that to James Madison in January of 1787. And I'm going to give one more thing, and this is a little longer than normal, but I have to get it all out there. I have other people that I know that, and some of them are Christians, and they criticize and don't like Trump, and I can understand it because I don't like all his quote-unquote mean tweets. He can be brash. He's a what you call a bulldog in a china shop. He's a back alley fighter, boxer, okay? And that's the kind of person we needed to fight this entrenchment of the administrative state that is taking down our country. Communist China has infiltrated, and a lot of people are bought off by them. And if you want to listen and hear all that information, go to look up Trevor Loudon. He's from New Zealand, but he lives here now. And he has the receipts on everybody in Congress and in leadership on both sides of the aisle that are bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party. It's insane. So, to those, especially my fellow Christian beings, I want to say this. When they say that they can't stand his former immorality issues and things that he might have said that weren't too nice or his mean tweets, I would like to say this with all sincere humility and love. I'm going to give you some examples, but I will say this with all humility and love. Hogwash. Here's a little reminder of some people, the flawed humans that God used. Okay, so King David committed adultery, then killed the woman's husband to try and hide it, yet he was of the house that Jesus himself, the Son of God, descended from. He descended from the house of King David. Jacob tricked his brother into selling his birthright and then deceived his father into giving him his birthright. He deceived his father into thinking it was Esau, the older brother. Yet he was the father of Israel. He was renamed Israel, and all the tribes of Israel came from him. Paul, Apostle Paul, persecuted and killed Christians, yet became one of the most prominent leaders of the New Testament era and wrote many of the books of the New Testament. Peter himself denied Jesus 3 times. Yet Jesus said upon this man, or upon this rock, he would build his church. What about Samson? Samson, long-haired, mighty warrior, succumbed to the seduction of a beautiful woman and gave away his power. Yet God used him to destroy Israel's enemies. And then King Solomon. He had a severe weakness for women. He had 800 or 900 wives? Yet God chose him to build the holy temple. So, God uses flawed humans to accomplish things. And right now, the fighter that Trump is, because he doesn't have to be doing any of this, like I said before, is the right kind of person. He's doing this because he loves America. And I can go through a whole slew and list of things that he's done, like the Abraham Accords that brought Saudi Arabia and Israel together. He had no new wars. He brought home, I don't know, over 20 hostages without bribes to our enemies. He held North Korea at bay. He held China at bay. He held Iran at bay. He killed off and destroyed ISIS that Obama had allowed to grow. He was taking over and destroying ancient Christianity in that part of the world. And Trump came in and destroyed ISIS. He shut down the border, okay? He instituted DNA testing so children would not be used over and over and over again as fake families and trafficked. They were making sure that children belonged to that family by DNA testing. It stopped the influx. It really slowed down the influx of illegal immigration. There's a whole slew of things. He was very pro-life, and he changed in his life when he understood what happened to a baby and abortion. He changed his stance on abortion. He became one of the most pro-life presidents we've ever had. The list goes on, okay? He wasn't perfect by any means, but there's a whole slew of positive things in the positive aisle. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to close up because I'll always like to cover in my podcast with true history from our country. And this is from The American Story, like I said, from David and Tim Barton at wellbuilders.com. You can get this book. I highly suggest you get this book, The American Story, at wallbuilders.com. This is from chapter 2, Awaiting the Reformation. It's just a couple pages here, but it's extremely important for you to get this information. The golden thread through history. There is a golden thread they're talking about that God weaved throughout the history of humankind. It is significant that while Columbus receives credit for discovering the New World and opening the Western Hemisphere to European colonization, neither he nor Spain actually colonized much of what would eventually become the United States. This is providential, and I've never really thought about it this way until I read this. For at that time, Spain often practiced both civil and religious oppression. For example, the same Spanish monarchs who funded Columbus's voyages also created the Spanish Inquisition in 1478 and expelled all Jews from Spain in 1492. It bears emphasizing that the cruelty that characterized Spain at that time was not Columbus's practice. He was Italian and had a very different mindset and behavior. He sailed under Spain's banner because its monarchs funded his voyages, not because he necessarily agreed with Spanish practices. Had the Spanish substantially colonized the New World, their tyranny would have influenced both North as well as South America. Providentially, it was nearly a century after Columbus discovered the new Western lands before colonies began emerging in America. Why? 19th century historian B.F. Morris explained it this way. God held this vast land of North America in reserve as the great field on which the experiment was to be made in favor of civil and religious liberty. He suffered not the foot of a Spaniard or Portuguese or Frenchman or Englishman to come upon it until the changes had been wrought in Europe, which would make it certain that it would always be a land of freedom. The providential delay in colonization was needed to develop what Morris had called the, quote, changes wrought in Europe, end quote, which refers to what today is known as the Reformation. This religious movement birthed both civil and religious liberty. It began in the 1300s with John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, but is often dated to 1517, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Castle. Throughout the 15th, 16th, and 17th centuries, the Reformation slowly spread across Europe and then into other parts of the world. By the time the European and English attention finally turned back to America more than a century after Columbus's discovery, the Reformation was at its height, and it was primarily colonists thoroughly schooled in its thinking that began to colonize and populate the bulk of the new lands in America. Because the Reformation strongly urged a return to the teachings of the Bible, America had a substantially different view of the relationship between state and church than what had become common in Catholic countries such as Spain, Portugal, and France, as well as in Anglican England. In the Bible, God ensured that the civil government did not control religion. He placed Moses over the civil affairs of Israel and Aaron over the spiritual ones, thus ensuring that one individual could not control both state and church. When Israel's King Uzziah later sought to be in charge of both at the same time, God sovereignly punished him as a dramatic message of warning to all future generations. That's in 2 Chronicles 26. The nation was one, but the jurisdictions were separate. Neither church nor state was secular, but there were separate leaders over each. You hear that? It wasn't a complete secularization of the state. Okay? Neither church nor state were secular, but they had different leaders. However, in 390 AD, ignoring the clear precedent God had established, Emperor Theodosius the first, unilaterally assumed control of the church and assimilated it into the state, decreeing Christianity as the official religion of the empire and declaring all other religions illegal. For centuries, it had been a common practice for government leaders in Greece, Rome, Persia, and elsewhere to institute national religions, but this was the first time it occurred with Christianity. Thereafter, state leaders often made themselves head of the Christian church, with church officials answering to government authorities and enforcing any religious doctrines the civil leaders decreed. This arrangement became known as the state-established church. Where these existed, there was a distinct lack of religious toleration, and seldom was there any protection for the rights of religious conscience. Individuals or churches were not allowed to determine their own religious beliefs or practices, but had to conform to whatever doctrines the state church decreed. Absolute religious conformity was vigorously enforced, and nearly every negative incident in world history associated with Christianity, like the Crusades, Inquisitions, etc., occurred under state-established churches. This practice was not what God had designed, and beginning in the 1300s, numerous religious leaders began advocating a return to the Bible as the ultimate guidebook for all aspects of life and living. This meant freeing the church from state control, thus allowing the church to determine its own theological doctrines and practices and protecting religious toleration and the individual rights of conscience. This Back to the Bible movement culminated in what became known as the Reformation, with its leaders known as Reformers. The Reformation slowly began to reform the Catholic Church and eventually created the Protestant Church. Reformers gradually brought an end to the brutal governmental practices of state churches that had become so customary throughout Europe. A major focus of the Reformation was to make the Bible available to the average person in his own language. Over previous centuries, the Bible had been largely unavailable to the ordinary individual. It was nearly always written in Latin, which only priests, scholars, and a few other well-educated citizens could read. But John Wycliffe and William Tyndale translated the Bible into English, Martin Luther into German, Jacob van Liesveld into Dutch, and so forth. Bibles became available to ordinary citizens in their own language, and when people began to read and study them individually,
their personal lives and practices changed. Additionally, with the steady return to biblical teachings, key Christian theological ideas that had become corrupted were also recovered by the church, including by Scripture alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, by Christ alone, etc. The establishment of many new Christian denominations came from these ideas, which impacted the world in an overall positive manner. Excuse me. As the biblical principles of liberty became more widely known and adopted, both civil and religious tyranny began decreasing in countries significantly influenced by the Reformation. Meanwhile, many of those persecuted for their faith looked for a place where they could freely and openly read the Bible and practice what they read. America became that place. People from across the world who suffered abuse for their religious beliefs at the hands of a government-established state church sought refuge here. In America, as in few other places in the world, colonists found the freedom to openly live their lives by the Bible's teachings on government, faith, economics, law, family, education, and much else. As a result, religious freedom, representative limited government, free enterprise, jurisdictional authority, rights of conscience, and private property protections began to appear in many of the civil documents that came forth in the 17th and 18th centuries. These included the Mayflower Compact, the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, the Massachusetts Body of Liberties, the Frame of Government of Pennsylvania, the Declaration of Independence, and the United States Constitution. This was the result of the colonists' application of the Bible's teachings to all areas of life. Of course, they did not immediately create perfect biblical institutions and practices. Working out the Bible's teachings about politics, law, economics, and much else took time, and they certainly made errors along the way. But compared to the countries from which they fled, their progress was not only notable, but also remarkable. Had God not held North America free from European colonization until after the Reformation had grown and taken root, America might have become as corrupt and tyrannical as most of Europe or the Spanish, Portuguese, and French colonies in South America. America's founding fathers openly acknowledged the difference that existed between the Christianity practiced in much of Europe and that in America. Founding Father John Jay described America's Christianity as, quote, wise and virtuous, John Quincy Adams as civilized, and John Adams as rational. Noah Webster further affirmed this by saying, the ecclesiastical establishments of Europe, which serve to support tyrannical governments, are not the Christian religion, but abuses and corruptions of it. Daniel Webster agreed, noting that in America, quote, general tolerant Christianity is the law of the land, end quote. Perhaps Thomas Jefferson best captured America's different overall attitude and behavior when he declared this, the comparisons of our government with those of Europe are like a comparison of heaven and hell. The Bible was so influential in the birth, growth, and development of the United States that even publications such as Newsweek acknowledged that, quote, historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps even more than the Constitution, is our founding document, end quote. Without God and the Bible, there would be no free and prosperous America as we have come to know it. The fact that America remained free from colonization for more than a century after Columbus's discovery is an early indication of the golden thread of God's providence. And, as explained in an early 1584 of an English minister and prominent geographer in America's colonization period, he said this. This is the prominent reason people came to America. We shall, by planting in America, enlarge the glory of the gospel, and from England plant sincere religion and provide a safe and a sure place to receive people from all parts of the world that are forced to flee for the truth of God's word.
There's so much more, but I highly recommend this book, The American Story. It's really good, and it's based on truth and reality, not the stuff you read in schools. And coming up on the Constitution Day, September 17th, which is tomorrow, this is in honor of that, because we wouldn't have a Constitution without this knowledge. The biblical foundation of our country is vital, and we must get back and have a new reformation in our hearts. A new discovery of what the foundation really is of this country. Okay? The Constitution, the Bible, it's the only thing that brings true liberty. The Bible working, and of course the Constitution working in conjunction with that. We have not always been perfect at doing this and implementing it, but every time we fall, we try to get back up and do better. And that's what I'm hoping we can do this time. Save it for our children. And that's why I do this and do these crazy little rants. Put this out here on the only platform that I know, that I discovered that I could use as an outlet, this podcasting thing. Why do I do it? Because I don't have kids. I mean, my kids are grown, but I have grandkids coming and my children, and I want to be able to look God in the face and my children and my grandchildren and not have to say, well, I just sat and did nothing. I was quiet when liberty was at stake. I didn't say a word. So don't listen to the mainstream media when they call people like me scum of the MAGA base. Making America great again is a mantra that has been trashed. And it's not that we don't love other people. It's that we need to take care of this nation. And when we do take care of this nation and it's put in order and done correctly, the rest of the world falls in line a little bit better. Not every nation, but a lot of them. So keep praying and do active things locally. That's where you can make a difference. And I'm just saying this out of the humbleness, with the most humility I can and with the most love coming to you that I can, because I love this country. I love all its people. And I just want what's best for my children and grandchildren. And I don't want to be like what John Adams said. You know, they said they don't want to look down from heaven and regret the sacrifices that they made when they see us throwing it away. So don't be that person that just sits back and lets it all be thrown away. Get up and do something. Do it locally. And that's how you can make a difference. So thanks for listening to my really long rant today, 52 minutes. And I appreciate it. And God bless you all. And follow me at straighttalkwithmj.net. And I may be having a little surprise coming out soon that I have something that I have designed. And maybe you will want to get it. I don't know. But I'll talk to you about it later. And anyway, God bless. And we'll talk to you soon.